Well, here we are again. Hey, Mark, how you doing?
I'm good, thank you, my friend. Yes, yes. How are you?
Not bad for an old guy. Thank you for asking.
That's all right.
Your week going well so far?
Yeah, not bad. Nice and gentle, you know, leisurely. Just getting ready for Poland at the weekend.
Yeah, so when are you leaving?
I leave on Saturday and obviously get to Warsaw on Saturday. And then on Sunday, get a lift over to where the school is. And then we start the school on Sunday.
Wow.
And how, really looking forward to it.
And how long is the school? Is it a week?
School is a week.
Yeah.
School's a week, yeah. So this is the first Father Heart school I've been leading for 2 years.
Wow.
I helped John McDonald with the one in Scotland last summer, but this is the first one that I'm kind of responsible for. And it was 2 years ago that I did the school with Brian, and we had to, you know, get out of Poland quickly before lockdown came. And hopefully now we're getting towards the end of the cycle.
Yeah, same end of that. Yeah, I tell you, the 2 years, I was going to say time flies. I don't know if it is actually flown in this last 2 years. It's been a bit of a long time, but it is amazing to think that was that your last international school or no?
Yeah.
Yes. Wow, that's amazing. Well, welcome everybody. Again, there's the Mark and Barry show, as always, in our 13th calendar year of doing this. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, we're looking forward to what the Lord's going to do tonight. As always, it's kind of like we have some ideas, and we just trust the rest to him, so that hopefully it'll be good. Mark, did you want to talk about the school? I'll give you the full screen. Is that okay?
Okay, thanks. Yeah. So it's off to Poland this weekend for the Father Heart School in Poland. But in about 5 weeks' time, 6 weeks' time, 26th of March, we've got the Father Heart School in the UK, which I'm also really looking forward to. Cloverley Hall in Shropshire. Mike and Sue and Norman and Johanna will be on team with me. Wynette's coming over from the Netherlands. And I'm just, again, just really looking forward to this. These weeks are just incredible. To say it's life-changing is in a way, it's an understatement. but they are life-changing weeks. And I just encourage you, if you want to join us, you're very, very welcome. We've got already got one person coming in internationally. And of course, as long as you comply with all the relevant travel restrictions, you're very welcome to come. So, you know, we'd love to see you. We look at, in the week, we look at the biblical basis of God being a father. We look at some of the hindrances that prevent us from receiving love and knowing that we're loved, living in love. And then we look at what it means to walk in sonship, to walk as Jesus walked, in the glorious freedom. So I just invite you, come and join us. If you can't make this one in the UK, Trevor and Linda and myself are doing a very similar school in Switzerland in June. Trevor's doing one in Germany, I believe, in April. And you can find all of the details for all of those schools that Trevor and I are doing on fatherheart.uk. Just scroll down the homepage a little bit. You'll find the itinerary and you can click on the event and get more details. So, you know, the UK, wonderful. Come and join us. But if you can't make the UK, there's Germany, Switzerland and other countries coming up over the rest of the year. So we would love to see you. I know, and Barry knows, you know, our lives have been changed so much by this revelation. And we just want to see more and more people come into the fullness of that. Hey, Barry.
Amen to that, brother. I mean, that's why we do this every week, eh? Of course, that's like the Canadian in me coming out, eh? But, we've been doing this for just wanting to share what we're walking in. And of course, so many of you have been on this journey with us and you have that same revelation and we just so appreciate you guys. So, we're going to miss you next week, Mark, as you're away, but,
So I'm in Poland, Barry. And what have you got planned for next Wednesday?
Well, I have this really, really big gap. you know, big shoes to fill with my brother gone. But yeah, I'll actually mention that, and then I'll come back in a minute. The it's interesting. I'm having a special guest come next week. And it's very much a new friend of mine. Again, he is it's kind of like once we got to actually talk, it was like we were just the connection that, you know, we have that same father, you know, and the same big brother Jesus, and just a wonderful guy. And I'm just going to put on, his name is David Melander. And, David, he's a really amazing guy. We connected through my blogs. I have a few daily devotionals that I put out, and then that's how we connected. And then, he's an author among other things. And this is his book here, if you can see that. The name of the book is The Culture of Heaven and the Destiny of Peoples. And so I got David's book, and I read it, and it was amazing. And then he sent me some YouTube videos. And of course, when I was able to really get the sense of just his heart through, you know, when you see somebody or hear somebody and just the essence of their being, I thought, oh, David, would you mind if I invited you to come on at a future date in one of the webcasts and just to have a conversation, hear his heart, hear his story. He's amazing. He's an author. He's an international innovator, businessman. I believe he's done missionary work. I know he's certainly lived in many places around the world, but most important, he's a much loved son of the living God. And I just believe that you're going to love him. He comes from that same spiritual DNA as we do. And yeah, it'll be really great to hear his story. So I'm just gonna, if you can make it next week, that'll be great. So I'm back to me and Mark, and
I'll be watching it in Poland either later on in the evening or on my afternoon off. It looks good.
Yeah, so I'll bless you for that. So we're going to talk about perfect love and the idea, what is perfect love? And Mark talked last week about living in love, and this idea, of course, you know, we're guys, we're father heart guys, we're love guys. And so, you know, it's not a topic that you can really, I think, exhaust. And I don't think we could, you know, there's not enough words that can be spoken on this side of heaven that can describe the indescribable love of God. So, but, you know, we do our best, you know, so we're going to talk about that, and specifically how perfect love drives fear out, how it deals with fear in our life, because, of course, we're dealing with that. So, Mark, would you mind just maybe opening in prayer, and then I'm going to start. I'll just share a few of my thoughts, and then Mark's going to share some of his thoughts, and then we'll go from there. But if you wouldn't mind, maybe, that would be great.
Yeah, Father, thank you that you are love.
Yeah.
You are love. You don't turn on a love tap.
Yeah.
It's not something you do. It's you are. And we just want an encounter with love tonight. We want an encounter with you tonight.
Yeah.
We don't just want to see what you do. We don't just want to hear about what you do, but we want to encounter the person who does it.
Yeah.
We want to encounter you. Thank you that you are love. And thank you that we have this amazing statement that perfect love casts out all fear.
Yeah.
And I just pray, Father, tonight as we're talking, I just pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, just even as we are talking about perfect love,
yeah,
I pray, Father, that people who are watching this webcast live or people who watch it later will be instantly set free from fear. Yeah. Just as we talk and share about who you are, Father, that will bring freedom into people's hearts. Whatever the fear is, whether it's big or small, it doesn't matter, because every fear is big to the person who feels it.
Yeah.
And so, Father, I just ask that freedom will come to people today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I see it. Yeah. And I, you know, Mark, when you were saying that, my heart was kind of leaping, because I had that same sense and that same desire that you know all of us would just be set free from fear. So, and sure. I think if we have that desire, I think it comes from our Papa who wants his kids to be fearless in that way. So, thanks, Meaty. Yeah. I'll call you back in just a bit after my thoughts here. But all right, see you in a bit. Okay. So yeah, I think the idea of dealing with fear. I mean, I don't think we know that we live in a world that is there's a lot of fear these days. Certainly in the last couple of years, that fear has been heightened. It's not like it's something new, but I think it's more something that we're all dealing with. And I think when we think about fear, it's fear in itself. There's a healthy fear, and then there's an unhealthy fear. And what I mean by that is that fear in itself, if you have some healthy fears, they're not a bad thing. So, like if you have a healthy fear of things that can hurt you, like fire or cliffs or speeding cars, or if you have a healthy fear of sharks, for instance, that would prevent you from going in a shark tank, right? And in that moment, like for instance, I had a bear chase me one time when I was camping, and you know, I was energized by this fear of not being eaten by this bear. So the fear of the bear eating me gave me motivation to outrun the bear, at least for a little bit, because I know that bears can outrun you in the long run. But the thing is that when we transition from a healthy fear, like fear of things that, you know, that can harm us to, unhealthy fears, is that's when, say, for instance, with the bear chasing me, it would be like, if I started to have nightmares about this bear and I was paralyzed with fearful thoughts every time I saw a photo of a bear, that is unhealthy. I mean, in the moment, if a bear's chasing you, yeah, it's best to hightail out of there and get away from the things that can cause you some problems. But in this life, there are many things that can make us afraid and that can cause us to be afraid. And that could be like an uncertain future or wars and rumors of wars, an unstable economy, job security, retirement, sickness, pain, and of course, pandemics are probably near the top of the list for a lot of people in the last few years. But in the Bible, a common theme that God always wanted to encourage his people is to fear not. And the thing is that I really believe that God wouldn't say, don't be afraid or fear not, unless when he was speaking to the person or Israel or whoever he was speaking to, there was a reason to be afraid, or they were struggling with fear. So the thing is, I think, you know, when we talk about perfect love and how perfect love deals with fear, it's not, fear really isn't the issue. It's what we do with it that really is. And, you know, when Moses was his parting words to Israel in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, he says to Israel, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or scared of them, for Yahweh, your God himself, goes with you. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. And so here's Moses, right? He not only saw the face or the back of God, but he said, show me your glory, but he knew the ways of God. And so at the end of his life, when he's speaking to Israel, he's just like saying, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Don't be scared of them, for God is going with you. And so, and then Moses speaks to Joshua in Deuteronomy 31, verse 7 and 8, and basically he says the same thing. He says, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with this people into the land which Yahweh has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Yahweh himself is who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. And so here's, you know, again, Moses knowing that probably in some ways Joshua was shaking in his boots, right? Moses' shoes were pretty big to fill. But again, this calming word came. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. God is with you wherever you go. And then God himself in Joshua 1 verse 9, you know, and of course it's in the first few verses of that chapter, God repeats himself a few times to Joshua, but God himself is speaking to Joshua and he says, haven't I commanded you, be strong and courageous? Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, for Yahweh your God is with you wherever you go. So this is God himself just speaking to the peace of God, the assurance of God, the rest of God, the encouragement of God, the protection of God. I will be with you, the abiding presence of God. And then Joshua obviously received an impartation of God's amazing love through those words. In Joshua 10:25, he passes on that same assurance and he says to Israel, to the leaders of Israel, he says, don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, be strong and courageous, for Yahweh will do this all to all your enemies against whom you fight. And so, you know, this is a common theme in the Bible. Even David, when he was giving his parting words to Solomon, and I find it interesting, it's almost like at the end of somebody's life and they're imparting wisdom to the next generation, or maybe at the beginning of something like Joshua when he was going to lead the people of Israel, it's this like, you know, there's giants in the land, right? There's some reason to be intimidated, but that's where the Father comes and he says, oh, don't be afraid. And so David, to speaking his parting words to Solomon before David dies in 1 Chronicles 28:20, says this, be strong and courageous and do it. Don't be afraid nor be dismayed, for Yahweh God, even my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work for the service of Yahweh's house is finished. You know, and I just absolutely love this repetitive notion that God speaks to new generations the same thing over and over again. And in Isaiah 41 verse 10, again, God speaks. You know, as Isaiah penned the words, he says, don't you be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the righteousness of my right hand. And you see, there's a difference, I really believe, from being afraid and the spirit of fear. Like, again, you know, it's like the idea of being afraid of the bear is not a bad thing in itself, but being paralyzed by fearful thoughts and nightmares and dreams and being tormented by that, you know, then we are dealing with the spirit of fear. And in 2 Timothy 1:7, Paul writes that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And, you know, when we titled this broadcast, we called it Perfect Love Casts Out All Fear. And Mark made mention to it already, but in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. He who fears is not made perfect in love. So when we begin to understand this idea of the love of God, that there is this, in a sense that we have this, there's no fear in love. So if we are living in love, then there is no fear. And it's like perfect love actually deals with fear. And I like how the Amplified Version describes 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. And I should just stop. If you're feeling dread right now, if there's something in you, whether it's the pandemic or it's your finances or a loved one or an illness, you know, I just absolutely love this idea that in love, dread does not exist. But perfect, complete, full-grown love drives out fear, because fear involves the expectation of divine punishment. So the one who is afraid of God's judgment is not perfected in love, and he has not grown into a sufficient understanding of God's love. And so, you know, even in this idea that, you know, when we struggle with fear, it's not like God, you know, gets frustrated with us. He understands why we're afraid. And when we deal with, you know, fearful things in our life. It just shows us that there are still areas in our hearts that need to have a revelation of love to come. And as Mark shared, I say amen to that, brother. I just say that I believe and I pray that as you watch this broadcast, that there will be a revelation of the love of God that will come in a way that would absolutely drive fear out of your heart. And it's interesting that, you know, and depending on what translation you read, where it says perfect love casts out fear, perfect love casts or drives out fear, the Greek word, and I'm probably not pronouncing this right, but it's ballo, B-A-L-L-O. That's the phonetic sounding of the word for driving out. But it's the same word that was used when Jesus cast out devils. And it means to throw in various applications, more or less violent or intense, to arise, to cast, to send, strike, throw, thrust. It is an aggressive word that it deals with that word, how love deals with fear. It's not like you have to deal with fear or I have to deal with fear. It's love, the love of our Father, the perfect love of God that drives fear out, because fear cannot share the same space as love. And so where God's love reigns supreme, fear cannot exist. And I just really believe that part of the struggle, why we can become fearful and why I can be afraid, is because fear is not rooted in understanding our immeasurable value to God. In Luke 12, verse 6 and 7, Jesus is speaking, and he says these words. He says, "Aren't five sparrows sold for 2 Assyria coins? Not one of them is forgotten by God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, don't be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows." And I feel like I just want to settle there for a second. That if God so values the sparrows, and he, you know, not one of them falls to the ground apart from him knowing about it and being interested in that. And that God, Jesus himself said that the Father has taken the time to number every hair on our head. And so then Jesus says, therefore, so that's the bridge. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And I really believe today that, you know, there are so many things that we can struggle with. But I believe that the more that we believe, we can know that we know that we know in the very core of our hearts how much we are valued by God, how much he loves us, how much he is interested in our life, then we are able to believe that he will deal with the fear in our hearts and that his perfect love will cast out fear. See, I really believe living in love does not insulate us from the hardships of the world. And I think some people kind of believe that if bad things happen to them, they think, well, then I must have done something wrong. And I think that's the whole idea, you know, fear having to do with punishment. And we think that, you know, if we have some heartache in our life or some disappointment or circumstances that happen, well, then I must have done something wrong. Almost like the game little girls play when they like a little boy and they take a flower and they pull out the petals and they say, he loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me not. And with the idea that, you know, if a good day happens, then, well, maybe God loves me now. But if something bad happens, well, maybe he doesn't love me. But the truth of the matter is, it's the love of God that can get us through every circumstance. In Romans 8:35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Could oppression or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword?" And verse 37, he says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." Verse 38 says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You see, I truly believe that the Father, in his infinite love for us, when he reveals his love, his fathering love to us, that perfect love, when we are absolutely convinced, And I think I still need to be convinced. I think Paul was in the process of being convinced that nothing in all creation can separate us from God's love. And I believe whatever fear that you're dealing with, I believe that the love of God, if you would just invite the love of God to drive out that fear, to overwhelm you with a sense of his acceptance and his affirmation and his protection and his fathering, that he will deal with fear, whether it's the fear of rejection, the fear of failure. Sometimes it's the fear of success. You know, people are afraid to be successful, or fear of being alone, fear of being misunderstood, feeling as that you're not belonging, or fear of being disqualified or being inadequate or being judged, or fear of being hurt or not being loved. I mean, we could go on and on. Fear of making a mistake, you know, fear of falling into sin, fear of making the wrong choices, fear of the future. We could go on and on and on. But I want to encourage you tonight. I just believe that the Father wants to come by the power of his Spirit. And he wants to fill you and me with a greater revelation of his perfect love, so that the perfect love of God would just be able to drive out fear. You see, in Luke 12, and I'm just going to end this, Mark, and I'll ask you to come on in a second here. But in Luke 12:32, again, Jesus is reassuring his disciples, and he says this: "Don't be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And I just really believe the Father is just saying that to you and I tonight. Don't be afraid, my child, my daughter, my son. It's my delight to give you the kingdom. And when I give you the kingdom, everything that opposes that kingdom will be driven out. So with that, maybe I'm going to bring you back on. That's my introduction.
Good introduction. Thanks, Barry. Yeah, I've come to really see, I think, that the opposite of love is fear. Mm. You know, I used to think the opposite of love was hate. But I've come to see that the opposite of love is fear. You know, if we go right back to the garden, Genesis chapter 3, Adam was conceived in love. You know, when he opened his eyes, he looked into the face of his father. He looked into the eyes of perfect love. Mm. You know, it's like when God the Father bent over that pile of dust, he breathed his life into him. Mm. And Adam became a living soul, a living being. And Adam, as a fully grown, fully formed, perfect human man, mm. opened his eyes and he looks into the eyes of perfect love.
Yeah.
You know, we have a lovely picture, don't we, of a newborn baby being held by its parents. Mm. And or that, you know, hopefully those parents are looking at that child with mm. eyes of love, and all that child knows is to be loved. Mm. Well, here's Adam, fully grown, fully mature man, and he's just looking into the eyes of love. Mm. That's all he knew. He was born into an environment of love. But then, of course, in chapter 3, when they take the fruit of the tree as a knowledge of good and evil, the very first thing they do is they go and hide. Mm. When they hear the Father coming, they go and hide. And the reason Adam says they went and hid was they were afraid. You see, they'd stepped out of that environment of love and they realized that they'd done something wrong. And they expected God to punish them. You know, fear, John, we looked at that verse already in 1 John 4, fear has to do with punishment. And that's exactly what Adam and his wife experienced. You know, I often wonder, and of course we've got no way of knowing, but mm. if in that moment in the garden, if Adam and his wife had owned their sin, and instead of Adam blaming her and blaming God, and, you know, I wonder if they could have, I just wonder, if there would have been a place for them to repent and, you know, to step back into that environment of love. I don't know. We've got no way of knowing, of course, but it's just how my imagination works. Yeah. But they hid because they were afraid.
Mm.
And they hid because they expected God to punish them.
Mm.
And they stepped into, instead of living as sons in sonship, they stepped into living as a slave, living as an orphan. And Romans 8, verse 14 says, "You are all, you who are led by the Spirit of God, are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of sonship that enables you to cry, Abba, Father." See, a slave lives their life in fear because they are working for someone else. And that other person can command them to do this, that, and the other. They don't own themselves. They belong to somebody else. And if they don't hit the mark, if they don't come up to the standard, you know, there's a punishment. The ultimate punishment, of course, for a slave was death. And Paul says, you know, you haven't gone back into that spirit of slavery to be driven by fear. See, sons, daughters are not driven, are not meant to be driven by fear.
Yeah.
Fear is the opposite of love. Fear has to do with punishment. And yeah, the thought I was having today, just as I was thinking about this, was what does that punishment look like for you?
Mm.
What does that punishment look like? Because it's, I think it's different for each one of us. You know, if you say you, I don't know, let me give you a silly example, but you know, say you get up in the morning and you're getting the kids ready to go to school and you lose your temper with them and you know, you have a bit of, you're a bit angry with them. They go off to school in anger, you know, they're upset, you're upset. And the kids have gone off to school, you close the door, and now it's time to go shopping.
Mm.
And the thought goes through your mind, oh, because I was angry with the kids, I won't get a parking space.
Mm.
It's like we associate negative thoughts with the punishment. And sometimes those negative thoughts can actually, you know, you get what you believe for sometimes. And those negative thoughts can control us. And I don't know, I don't have any, I've said to Barry before we started, I don't have any psychological basis for what I'm going to say, but it was just this kind of what I was, the nudge I felt from the Holy Spirit today is like, we have a preconceived idea of what that punishment would look like, depending on what we've done and how bad it is on our own scale, not on God's scale, but you know, okay, I've done something today and it's hit six on my scale, you know, of badness. Mm. Therefore my punishment is a level six punishment.
Mm.
You know, and we have something in our mind that says level six punishment equals this. You know, okay, today I've been level two badness. Okay, so the punishment is level two punishment, yeah. You know? And I think we have that kind of psyche. And what I want to just do is just say to you is, can you recognize those thoughts? Can you recognize the punishment that fear stirs in your mind?
Mm.
And you know, and then be able to take every thought captive. So your mind is saying, I'm going to get a level four punishment today. No, that's a lie. You know, you're a son, you're a daughter. You're not going to get a level four punishment. You're not going to get a level one punishment. You're not going to get a level 10 punishment because you're a son,
yeah.
You're a daughter. And, you know, the thought I was just having today was, can you recognize what the lie is, the expectation of punishment is, and then take that thought captive and say, no, that is the result of fear in my life. I'm not going to have it, you know, and step back into love, because perfect love casts out all fear. I want to read this, these verses from the Message translation, because it's one of those times I really think the Message catches it in a very kind of good way. So it's 1 John 4. I'm just going to read from 16 down to 16 down to 19. We know it so well. We've embraced it heart and soul. This love that comes from God. God is love. When we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house, comes at home and mature in us so that we are free of worry on judgment day. Our standing in the world is identical with Christ's. There's no room in love for fear. Well-formed love banishes fear, since fear is crippling. A fearful life, fear of death, fear of judgment is one not yet fully formed in love. We, though, are going to love and be loved. First, we were loved. Now we love. He loved us first. And I just love that. Love has the run of the house. And when love grows in us and is mature in us, there's no room for fear when we live like that. Well-formed love banishes fear. And fear really is, it says it there, fear is crippling. Fear paralyzes us. You know, I know in my own life, many of you will have heard this story. My dad was killed in a car crash when I was 10. And obviously that was had a big impact on us as a family. A few years later, when I was 17, 18, I learned to drive, and then I got my own car and so on. But, you know, when I was driving my car, I never had any fear of me having a car accident. You know, I was a good driver. I knew what I was doing, and, you know, I had no fear of me having a car accident. When I got married and Fiona would go off, I had a fear that she would be killed in a car accident. When I taught my kids to drive, you know, the first time you give them the keys, maybe there's a little bit of natural apprehension, but there was also a sort of, they could have a car accident. But, you know, I was being crippled. I was paralyzed by fear. You know, and fear would get hold of me, and it was strong, you know, and it tied up my heart. And I could feel like the chains, you know, when I was stepping into that place of fear, I could feel like the chains on my heart. I physically could feel it. And over the years, many, many people prayed for me that spirit of fear would go. And, you know, maybe it did for a time, but then it would come back. But my story, my testimony is, as I have experienced the Father loving me, as I have stepped into sonship, as I've allowed the Father to pour his love into my heart, all I can say is that fear has gone. You know, did it happen instantly? No, I don't think it did. I think it happened over a period of time. And the more I soaked in love, the fear gradually went. And now I would say now I'm free of that fear. See, love cast out fear. Living in love, allowing love to grow in me, cast out the fear. Fear and love cannot live together. Light and dark cannot live together. When you go into a room, you turn on the light, the darkness goes. It doesn't ball itself up into a corner and sit in the corner waiting to, you know, to expand out and when the light turns off. No, when you turn the light on, darkness goes. Fear and love cannot live together. When love comes, fear goes. And so I just want to, you know, my encouragement as we talk about this today is just don't be consumed by the punishment, but can you recognize in your own life the lies of the enemy that tell you how you're going to be punished? And then take every thought captive. And as Paul says in Colossians, clothe yourself in love. Put on that garment of love so that that fear goes. See, I think that we have many different fears in our life. We have a lot of, there's a lot of fear at the moment. There's a lot of fear at the moment. You know, but even without the pandemic and even without COVID, people live fearful lives. And people are encouraged to fear, you know, because if someone can make you be fearful, they can control you. And our Father doesn't control us. He gives us freedom. And so fear can be quite controlling and manipulative. And people, other people want us to fear because we fear them. And we fear, we want to give them that control over our life. And so, you know, perfect love drives that sense of fear away, because God doesn't control us. God gives us freedom and he walks with us through the pain. He walks with us through the suffering. And, you know, I think sometimes we fear. No one wants to go through suffering. You know, we don't want to suffer, but there's a lot of suffering in the world at the moment, and we can become very, very fearful of that. And the reality is that we can't avoid suffering. And very often we don't know why we suffer. And we don't, and very often we've done nothing to cause that suffering. But we have someone who walks with us when we do suffer. And as the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for your rod and staff, they comfort me. You see, and when we go through the valleys, the dark valleys, the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear, because we have someone with us who envelops us in his arms and carries us and wraps his love around us. And so I think, you know, the reality is in some ways there's plenty to fear in the world, but we mustn't let that fear control us, because we're not slaves to fear, but we're sons and daughters, and we can live in love, and that love will cast out all fear. See, God doesn't punish us. You know, maybe there are consequences for what we do, but, you know, he's always there to love us. And his discipline is not a punishment. His discipline is a guidance back into his ways. See, punishment speaks of rejection and being cast out and cast aside and working through some form of penance in order to be allowed back in. That's not, you know, that's not the discipline of the Father. The discipline of the Father sometimes is, yes, there are consequences, but his discipline is always to bring us back into his ways. It's never to cast us out and make us do something to whatever. And so I just, you know, Barry, come back and join me. And, you know, I just feel like, yeah, let's turn the light of love on.
Yeah.
And let the darkness of fear be kicked out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved what you said about fear doesn't kind of hide in the corner when love is present. It's like fear has to go. And again, mm-hmm. when, you know, the Greek word, that it's a very, very aggressive casting out, just like Jesus cast out devils. And he didn't, like, if you think with Jesus, you know, he didn't negotiate, you know, in that way. He just, it's like, just, you gotta go. And so, yeah, and oftentimes, I think so often we focus on the fear, you know, and not necessarily focusing on the love.
Yeah.
And then allow, the more that we can focus on just being loved. And in the truth, what you said, taking every thought captive, because because really, you know, the as Jesus referred to the devil as the father of lies, and when he lies, he speaks his native language. So he will be the one that says that you're in for punishment, you're in, you know, you're in judgment, God doesn't love you, and all those things. But, you know, for us to be able to just, you know, as it says in James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that's all we have to do. And just resisting to me is just turning away from him and turning towards God, you know. And it's just this beautiful, simple expression or even act, you know, act of faith that we just turn towards our Father and say, Father, we know that you're not like what he's saying. I don't receive that, right? You're good. And so, yeah, so maybe we could spend a bit of time praying. Because again, it's like, you know, suffering and loss and fear. There's things that we're all touched by things. And it's just, you know, how are we dealing with those things? And yeah, I'll put on the music and, you know, hopefully, you know, as we just, you know, I just believe, declare with you, bro, that that perfect love will cast out fear, even in real time, or and if people are watching this after the broadcast, that God would come by his Spirit sovereignly and powerfully to drive fear out of our out of our hearts. So
yeah, thank you, Father.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
Father, we do recognize that fear is one of the enemy's few weapons that he uses sometimes pretty effectively. Father, we recognize as well that fear never comes from your heart. Fear doesn't come from you. Love comes from you because you are love. And so, Father, as we allow ourselves to be soaked in love right now, may that love drive out the fears that have got a root in our heart. Father, that your love would uproot those fears and just wash them away. Yeah. That we would be clothed in love. That we wouldn't think about the punishment because that's not in your heart, Father.
Yeah.
And Father, that people who are going through times of suffering at the moment, people who are going through times of sickness, that those things are not a punishment from you.
Yeah.
Sometimes we don't know why those things happen. All we know is that we live in a broken, messed up world.
Yeah. But
more than that, we know that you're good. And you are with us in our difficult times.
Yeah.
And they're not punishments. And so, Father, we just want that fear of punishment, that fear of the future, that fear of sickness, that fear of finances, fear of jobs. We want all those fears just to be uprooted now in the name of Jesus. That Holy Spirit, you would just wash those out.
Wow.
And that in our hearts, we would know that we're loved.
Yeah.
And our heart would affect our mind. And our mind would be renewed. And the thoughts that pass through our mind would not rule our heart, but our heart would rule our mind.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. And Father, we ask that we would know at a deeper level today by revelation our immeasurable value to you. That he who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him for us all, won't he also, along with him, graciously give us all things?
Yeah.
Father, you emptied the bank when you gave your beloved Son Jesus for our redemption. And you've taken the time, Father, to number every one of the hairs on our head. Father, you know what we need before we ask for it. You are our provider. You're our protector. You fight for us. You carry us. You shelter us. You comfort us. You hold us. You lift us up. You encourage us. You strengthen us. And you continue to pour out your everlasting affection upon us. And Father, I just pray for each and every one of us. That we would have a boldness that comes from knowing we're loved. Where King David said, "The Lord is the light of my salvation, the strength of my life. Whom shall I fear?" So, Father, we never tire of hearing how much you love us. So, Abba, I just ask by the outpouring of your Holy Spirit that even in this very moment, each and every one of us would hear those words again from you. I love you, my son. I love you, my daughter. You're my prince. You're my princess. You are an heir of my kingdom and a joint heir with Jesus. And Father, I just pray that even now that the Abba cry would just begin to resonate in the very core of our being as the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit who we really are. We're your kids. We belong to you. We're not orphans adopted in your family. We are legitimate heirs born of God. And Father, as we are able to just yield to the overflow and the waves of your affection today, I just see the ocean and just the crashing waves, and with every wave of love that comes, that fear would just be driven out. Amen. We have a good Father.
We do indeed.
Wow, that's awesome, mate. I just encourage you. Maybe we could just pray for Mark right now, for Poland next week, and pray for your family at home, Fiona, and just that the hearts in Poland would just be open up. So Father, we thank you for Mark going out again and just being the son whom you love. And as he goes and shares your heart for your children in Poland, thank you, Father, that the same words that you said to Joshua, the same words that you said to Moses, the same words that David said to Solomon, that Yahweh goes with you, your Father goes with you wherever you go. Father, we pray for favor with travel. We pray for favor with borders. We pray for health. We pray, Father, for open hearts in Poland. Father, we pray that in this last 2 years that there would just be a growing desire in the people in Poland to be fathered by you and knowing your love through Jesus. And so we just pray that the school would just be abundantly above all Mark could ever ask or think for, hope for, man. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah, so that's really awesome, mate. So as we go out, I thought that I would just leave you as we go with a video that just maybe in the spirit of us leaving, that these are declarations of who you are in the Father's sight. And my prayer is that, you know, for those who have the time just to read these declarations, and I just encourage you to say yes and amen to every one of these. Wow. So bless you, and bless you, Mark, again. And thanks everybody for coming, and we'll just say goodbye by putting on this. It's a soaking video pretty much. So hope you see you next week.
Thanks everyone.